This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
To have a team this dominant, you know, especially after a game that spectacular. I mean, I'll tell you this, from my end, it's a strange feeling because I feel like I've never had this. I was too young for the 83 Sixers. I was 5 years old. I was too young. I know in 08 with the Phillies, it was a great team. There's no question. It was a title winning team. And for me, that was, you know, for many of us, super special because a lot of us of a certain age was the first title we'd ever seen. 25 years, obviously. It was a team that won 91 games. It was a team that did play great in the postseason. But no one would say, you know, this is one of the greatest baseball teams of all time.
They didn't have to face a great team along the way, all that.
Yeah, so that one was different. 17 Eagles, obviously, first Eagles in the Super Bowl era. You beat Brady and Belichick. That's massive beyond belief, and I'm not shortchanging that at all. And that will always be more special for me than this one. But this one was a higher level of greatness. And, you know, to that end, it's the kind of thing, I mean, we were talking earlier, you know, Ross, we were talking earlier, let's talk defense for a second. I think it's one of the five best defenses this century. And so you're talking about it, you know, James said earlier, Ross, he thinks it's the best NFL team in the salary cap era, which goes back 30 years. I tend to think James is wrong there, but they're up there. I thought Seattle in 2013 was a great team. Some of the mid-90s teams when the salary cap had just started, like Green Bay 96, there were some really good teams. But, I mean, Ross, this team is historic league-wide in a way that I would believe, Ross, 2017 was not. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Two things I think are really interesting. It just occurred to me, because you guys know, I've already done, I don't know, 8 radio hits in other cities around the country.
Yep.
No one is talking about this defense like they did the 2000 Ravens,
yep, they should.
2002 Bucks, 2013 Seahawks.
Yep.
I think it's almost because, like, Saquon's season overshadowed the defense, maybe, if that makes sense.
I agree.
When people talked about the Eagles this year, they knew they had a good defense, but the story was Saquon. You mean, like, that was, or on some level, Sirianni, what's the deal with this guy? I think that's a really good point, Joe, that the defense is not, I mean, the defense getting credit for the Super Bowl,
yeah,
but I'm not sure people are giving them credit for the season that they had.
Ross, here's where I'm at, and this is off the cuff. I got to think about it a little bit more, but my gut feeling is Eagles are third this century in defense. And here's how I go. I go Ravens 2000, number one. I go Seattle 2013, but really it was for 4 or 5 years. 2013 is the one time they won. 2014, they got there, obviously, and lost at the end. I go Seattle, that group, two. My gut feeling is this Eagles group, three, this century.
Ooh.
The Bucs, 02, four, and the Broncos, 2015, five. Now, look, you can spin them around in a couple directions, but the point, John, is the Eagles are in there somewhere. They're in there somewhere.
The Bucs, Joe, they have 4 Hall of Fame guys on the defense.
I understand they do.
And they have a Hall of Fame guy at every level of the defense, and they destroyed John and the Raiders.
But Jalen Carter could be a Hall of Famer.
Whoa, we're just saying they have the potential down the road.
Yeah. I know they just started. I'm just saying the talent is there.
Yeah, I mean,
let's talk about the specifics of what that defense did. I mean, it is, for posterity's purposes, yes, it's historical how great they were. But the key to what they did was they minimized Pat Mahomes' legs, not just his arm, but he always broke free and somehow, you know, got another first down with his legs, another first down. There was none of that. It was so airtight, not just the coverage, but just all of it.
Well,
they hemmed him in a way that no one has been able to do. How did that happen?
Yep. So, interestingly, they went with two high safeties almost the entire game, which, by the way, is why Andy should have tried to run the ball more, but he didn't.
No question.
They did not blitz one time. They did not rush more than four guys one time. They had a couple simulated pressures. They actually had four or five snaps where they only rushed three. Okay.
Yeah.
What I thought was beautiful, and what they did was they worked hard to take away the first read for Mahomes so that he couldn't just get it out quickly to Kelce or whoever with the quick passing game. They knew that if he had to hold it, that their guys would get there. I thought the other thing that was interesting, they killed him, John, with stunts. And one of the things that's really cool about a stunt like a TE game, when the end loops around, like a Nolan Smith, he kind of becomes like a spy, right? So he would loop around. Mahomes would feel that pressure. He'd step up. Nolan Smith runs a 4-3, bro. Like, you're not running away from him. And that's the other thing that I really took away from this. I know everybody wants to retain Sweat. Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt. Jalix Hunt.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple years ago, he was playing safety at Cornell. I can assure you, no Cornell safeties look like that when I played them. Now, I'd be okay right now if Jalix Hunt and Nolan Smith were their starting edge rushers next year.
That's
based on how they played down the stretch, and in particular in the Super Bowl.
That's a
Those
big
guys
statement.
Are dogs.
Yeah. No,
that's a big. Do you think there's ever been a rookie class that had a bigger impact in a Super Bowl? Like multiple guys?
Well, I don't know. The Giants had a great group when they won in 07. They had, I think, eight guys that contributed. But
This is absurd.
Because Cooper DeJean and Quinion are already exceptional. They're already exceptional.
Yeah.
I mean, Collinsworth said yesterday Cooper DeJean might be the best second-round pick of all time.
Forgot about Jalen Hurts, but, you know.
It's probably not true. But, because some Hall of Famers going
second. Jalen Hurts, who is on a Hall of Fame path as a quarterback, was a second-round pick.
All right, let's get to, because I want to get back to how things started on Sunday. And Devin was there, obviously, you know, reporting for WIP, part of the Merrill and Mike, you know, team. So I thought there were two moments for me that I got the most fired up. I'm going to go out of order. The second was the Cooper DeJean pick six. The first time I just started screaming at the TV with excitement was right after what Bradley Cooper did with the
Cooper
chant.
Night for you.
And the Eagles players running on the field, the flags, EAGLES, running on the field with them, the crowd going wild, knowing that there was a home field-ish advantage because you could hear it with the way the Chiefs were introduced and the Eagles were introduced. Let's go back to the moment when Bradley Cooper and that young kid introduced the Eagles.
From the city of brotherly love, your 2024 NFC champions, the Eagles!
So, Devin, I know, watching it on TV, what it felt like from a TV standpoint, it was 100 out of 10. Mm-hmm. It was 100 out of 10. What was it like in the stadium to feel that moment?
I mean, words can't describe it. It was, especially compared to the Chiefs, which, you know, regardless, it's going to fire Chiefs fans up. I would say, at least from how it sounded to me down on the field, it was like 2/3 Eagles fans, 1/3 Chiefs fans. Yep. And they were loud at the beginning. They got really quiet at the end. I saw some Chiefs fans actually walk out before the end of the game, which understandably so.
Yeah.
But I mean, that introduction, I thought back to the 2018 Super Bowl 52 when Tom Brady and the Pats ran out to like Crazy Train or something.
Yep.
And then the Eagles run out to Meek Mill. And I was like, okay, we might have this. Like, it was a very similar feeling compared to, you know, John Hamm, no disrespect.
He was horrible.
His introduction was so lame. And then we have Bradley Cooper and that adorable kid bringing the Eagles out with that Eagles chant.
And the crowd,
Eagles
and the
chant,
crowd getting into it.
And the crowd going wild.
Because they realize around like EA, they realize around G or L, like, oh, this is, because they weren't on it on the E. And they realized by like the second or third letter, oh, we're jumping in.
Well, the chant
we're
was
part
key.
Of this.
Yeah, the chant was key.
Did you join in?
No, I did not join in on that.
I did.
I
did it at home, man. I joined in at home.
I realized the home field advantage during warm-ups when Eagles players ran out, and it was like a deafening cheer.
Yeah.
And then you hear boos resounding around the stadium.
That's
like 10
amazing.
Minutes later, and it's because the Chiefs are running out. I was like, oh, this is a home game.
Tremendous.
It's amazing when that happens, and it does lift you as a player. Yeah. As an Eagles player, you know that it's going to be like that.
Well,
that
listen,
your
it's,
fans will have your back that way.
These guys deserve all the credit, obviously, what they accomplished. Last night on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley on the show. Offensive linemen also at a certain portion, but mostly Jalen and Saquon featured. Let's listen to the moment they were introduced, then you're going to hear also Jalen's first answer.
Our first guests are coming off a historic Super Bowl win on Sunday night. One is the Super Bowl MVP. The other is NFL's Offensive Player of the Year. Please welcome from the Super Bowl winning Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley.
Tonight's show with the Eagles. And the Roots. Philadelphia's own who won the Eagles.
Come on, bud. Welcome. Welcome. Champs. Super Bowl champs. How does it feel? What do you feel like when the confetti is coming down? You're holding the Lombardi Trophy right there.
I've just been telling people I was trying to process it, you know. And I think when you go into that, you don't know how you're gonna feel. You know, you watch as a fan sports and championship games and these iconic moments, and you see the greats and how they handle it and their excitement and the rush of emotions. And all I could think about was all the hard work. All I could think about was all the effort. And to see my reflection on the chrome trophy in that mirror.
That's pretty cool. I didn't even think about that.
It was a pretty good feeling.
That thing about the reflection is great, man. You look at the Super Bowl trophy and it looks back at you and you see your face. Oh, that's really good. All right,
he's
up
a poet.
Yeah,
he
that's
really he made it poetic.
That's beautiful. Well, always great to be with you. But particularly on a week like this. You know, as Rhea said in the update, big coverage on Friday at the parade. So, obviously, I hope as many of you get to the parade as you can. It'll be a madhouse, but, you know, try to navigate it, get there, take the kids, the whole deal. It's good that schools are, you know, off in Philadelphia.
Public schools as of right now.
Yeah.
The Catholics haven't made a decision yet, so get on it, people.
Look, no one's going to be showing up at school.
No, of course
not. You know, get yourself there, and obviously tune in to WIP any portion of the day you're able. Guys, this, and I say it all the time, but I really emphasize it this time. This is what the Odyssey app is made for. All right, I understand how this is going to go. You're going to get to Philly somehow. Cars to an extent, trains to a huge extent. Some people are going to walk depending on where you're coming. Like, okay, get that Odyssey app downloaded. Maybe even have an earpiece, you know? And then be ready to listen for the, because you're going to be out on the street for hours. Like, this is not a 1 hour and done thing. So you're going to be out there 5 or 6 hours, presumably. Odyssey app. And if you're an older person and don't, because I know some people are older and don't, you know, I'm like this. I'm not good with technology. I'm like, hey, someone help me. Get someone to help you. And get that Odyssey app and listen to WIP while you're out there for those 4, 5, 6 hours. I'm serious. Odyssey app, very easy to get. You can listen live at any time. You can also go back at any time and listen to the interviews and shows we do.
I'm just thinking of you going, James, can you get the Odyssey app up on my phone?
James, did you do it for me the first time? I don't remember.
Maybe. Yes. I've done a lot of phone stuff.
Somebody did. Yeah. So I don't know that stuff. But anyway, if you're older and like me.
I don't know that stuff.
I don't. I'm into the Uber stuff. I was late to that.
Venmo to give you Uber?
Devin, here's the ultimate. You
he
don't
says
know.
He's late to that. He still doesn't really know how to do
Look,
it.
Look, I'm a lot better than I was. But Devin, here was my worst. And you, as the youngest person here, this will really resonate with you how horrendous I am. All right.
Okay.
This is a true story. So, you know, there are different websites where you can sign up for, you know, whatever. You know, you got to log. You got to log in. Got to log in.
Yeah, okay. Logins are important. Yeah.
So
this is amazing.
This is pretty good. This is pretty good.
This.
I was about roughly 5 years late to the basic logins for whatever. Pick your sites. Because, you know, when you would go for the sign up, it would say, you know, email and then password.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
For years, I thought it meant give my email password. So I was like, why in the hell would I turn my password over to this site? I swear to God.
Was doing that?
So I did not know for about 5 years they wanted me to
create a password.
5 years?
What?
That's a true story.
I'm not signing up.
No online anything. No Amazon,
nothing. Can you believe
nothing.
All these sites asked for your email password? How rude is that?
I thought it was offensive. Like, what
I mean, if you're like most adults, it actually is the same password. But, I mean, I guess you're
supposed
to be creative.
Wow. Pretty bad. Pretty bad.
How do you function?
That's bad,
it's pretty
Joe.
Bad. Well, I got a girlfriend. Yeah, she holds my hand. Who, by the way, last night was at the Tonight Show.
No, what? She's
oh, that's awesome.
And wearing a Jalen Hurts jersey representing.
How'd she get those? Is it tickets? Is it like a lot?
Kamar? Was that Kamar?
She's got a friend that's got a friend that's got.
Cindy, yeah.
You,
right.
You know it. You know the deal. Rhea knows
the
deal.
Reactions.
But you know what I'd forgotten? Honest to God, I'd forgotten this. Apparently, I bought her a Jalen Hurts shirt jersey, like, 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh,
look at this.
So, being nice.
So she wore the Jalen
Hurts. So you really do like him.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah. 2 or 3 years ago, was it number two?
Good point, Rhea.
Well, that's why I brought it up.
Interesting that you wait until now to say that.
All right,
wasn't he number two 2 or 3 years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, that's a good question.
When Carson left is when he switched.
Yeah, so I don't know what she... I'm sure I didn't buy it until after Carson was out, so probably it's one. But anyway. All right, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question, do you plan on attending the parade, yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. You know, Ross, the Eagles' dominance, obviously, look, it's so exceptional, but one of the unfortunate realities, and there's not much, but like 2 years ago, it may be hard to retain them all. It just might, you know? So of the four biggies, Ross, how would you rank them? And we'll get into this more, you know, in the next couple weeks, but just give me off the cuff. The Bond, Becton, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat thing. How would you rank them for most money that they will get? Put another way, the hardest to retain.
Ooh, okay. That was not what I was expecting you to say.
That does change the order.
Yeah.
Well,
the most money.
Because Javon Hargrave blew away the other guys a few years ago. And we were talking about him, but we were also talking a lot about Slay and Bradbury and CJ, GJ. And then Hargrave doubled everybody's money. Doubled them all.
Well, so, that's why Milton Williams, as a three technique who can penetrate, is more of a commodity than Zach Bond as an off-ball inside linebacker.
So, Ross, let me say this.
Okay, so I think in order of how much money they will get, I think it's close between Sweat and Milton Williams. But I will say Sweat 1, Milton Williams 2, Bond 3, Becton 4.
Isn't that incredible? Defensive Player of the Year finalist 3rd.
Well, it's incredible. It really is.
Listen, he might get $20 million.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I feel very strongly that the priority for the Eagles should be Zach Bond.
Yeah, me too.
Very strong. In part, Joe, for your question, because he'd be 3rd on that.
Interesting. Cheapest.
I thought they made a mistake a couple years ago in not bringing back Edwards or Kaiser. And if you look at what T.J. Edwards got to go to the Bears, that was not that much money. And I thought that they should have kept him. Look, I would love to have Sweat and Milton Williams back, but I will say this. They lose Milton Williams. They have Jalen Carter. Jordan Davis came on a little bit at the end there. And Ajumma is going to be a guy next year. Okay? And then at the edge, guys, I know we'd love to have Sweat back, but very impressed by Nolan Smith, Jalix Hunt. This is a very important comment. I just saw that in Daniel Jeremiah's top 50, okay, he has 24 defensive linemen for this draft. 24.
Wow.
Which is all the more reason why the Eagles re-signed Bond. I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles did a Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, and went D-line, D-line with their first two picks. They could do what they just did with the two corners, with two D-linemen, but I can't overstate how important I think Bond is to everything they do.
Two things. One, great fact there about the draft, Ross. That's fascinating. April, we'll be all over covering it all. Second thing, James, remind me for future shows to do what Ross just did, because he pulled a boss move. He said, what I'm about to say is really important.
I clocked it when he said it.
I'm Ross Tucker.
Wow, Ross is really feeling
because,
it.
You know, could lean into that. What I'm about to say is I like it. Really important. Let's go to the phones.
Ross, what have you done?
Sorry, guys.
All right, let's get to Ken and Cinnamon. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Excited.
Super, Ken.
Happy.
Oh, man. This is awesome. So, first of all, Ross, I can't believe that anybody is out there saying, like, you're the only person that was wrong about this. I mean, everybody got this wrong.
Not everybody, but a lot. Look, the Chiefs were favored. The Chiefs were.
Yeah, they were favored for a reason. And by the way, if I ever, whenever I pick the Eagles, like, oh, you're a homer. And then I don't pick the Eagles, everybody's mad at me. Like, I can't win.
Well, you should have picked the Eagles, Ross. So. Ken,
Ross, I admired you because I know what that's like to, you know, to tell a local fan base, I'm with you, but I think the other team wins. I really do. And I admired you picking.
But my job, number one, is always going to be to say what I actually think. I'm an analyst. You know what I mean?
Totally agree with you.
You guys know who I want. I took my whole family to the game. Yeah. It was, to your point earlier, Joe, when Bradley Cooper did that thing, my daughters went absolutely berserk. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yep. All right, Ken, go ahead, buddy.
Obviously, this one was different than 2017 in so many ways. Obviously, 2017 was the first. This one, for me, almost felt, especially throughout the entire second half, anticlimactic might be the wrong word, but just kind of this feeling of inevitability that really, as you looked at the season and it started to come into such clear focus at, you know, after halftime of the Super Bowl, that this team really was just that much better than everybody. And look, it's not the most astute observation in the history of WIP to say that there's a Super Bowl winner every year, but not every Super Bowl winner is the same.
Yep.
Not every Super Bowl winner is going to make 31 other general managers, coaching staffs, league front offices look at their team and say, wow, we have a lot of work to do to compete with that. We have a lot.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
A lot of work to do to get to that.
I agree. Listen, Howie's a Hall of Famer, and I hope he gets it, and I think someday he will. I'll tell you this, and Ken, good call. The one thing right now, other than a couple free agents, that does concern me a bit for next year, and Ross, you know this, the NFL is built this way. They try to tear at the great teams with the schedule. And Ross, that we don't know the order that the Eagles will play the games, but we know they've got like 7 or 8 games that are brutal.
Right. So,
and I know the Eagles are going to walk out with a great team, and so it's going to be brutal for the other team. But like, you can make a case 12-5 would be an achievement with that list of teams they have to play, which means you're probably not the one seed and that whole thing again.
Well, so that's a great point. Their schedule is very, very difficult next year. There's no question. That said, I thought it was interesting. You know, I do that betting show, Joe, the Even Money Betting Podcast, and my co-host is a professional bettor. He said he thinks that the Eagles season win total, he was initially thinking 11.5. He thinks it should be 12. His point was, who else in the NFC is really at the Eagles level? Remember, the Lions just lost both their coordinators, and they lost a bunch of other position coaches. The Commanders, probably not yet. The Vikings have a quarterback issue. The Cowboys, no. I mean, maybe the Rams. I think probably the biggest threat might be the Packers. They're in the NFC. They're not in the AFC with the Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, Bengals. I think the Eagles are the clear favorites in the NFC again. So, yes, it would be nice to be the number one seed, but they weren't this year, and they still won it. They're easily the most talented team in the NFC, I think.
Hey, Ross, let's wrap with this. And, of course, Mike Quick joins us coming up in about 10 minutes. But Ross, take us to after the game, as you experienced it, you know, what you saw. I don't know what access you had, but whether it was in the stands, press box, field, parties, street, take us to what you saw after that game ended.
Well, the one funny story is that I could not hold it anymore. I had to pee, and I was in line. This is like second quarter. I'm in line to pee during the Cooper DeJean pick six.
No!
No!
Yep. No,
dude. So here's the thing.
I missed Stott's Grand Slam, if you remember that.
I do remember that.
It was bad that I wasn't with my wife and daughters. However, kudos to the Superdome, because they had TVs everywhere. and the line was long. So if there's 30 guys in line, 25 are Eagles fans. So if anybody was in that line with me, that was such a cool moment. This is before we were going to pee, okay? So before we were even in the bathroom, were high-fiving. I was high-fiving and hugging random dudes. I don't know if they knew it was me or not. That's it doesn't great. Matter. It was awesome.
That's good.
After the game, we stayed and watched the ceremony and everything. Walking back was amazing. It's funny because late in the week, I ended up finding out, and I didn't even ask for these, but the Eagles did give us four passes to the postgame party.
Oh, that's nice.
So we went to that, which was amazing. The only issue is my daughter hadn't decided she wanted to go till too late, so we were on the red eye. So I spent every second at the postgame party trying to switch my flight to Monday instead of the red eye. We weren't able to get it done, but the girls had a great time. We went to the airport, and listen, I mean, they've never been to a Super Bowl before. I never get to just be a dad. And I mean, I call 30 games a year at least. So to be there with them, I just kept looking at my wife and saying, I'm just so happy. By the way, my wife has now been to two Super Bowls in her life, Minneapolis and New Orleans. My wife is 2-0. She says it's her lucky hat. I'm like, maybe it's just you. I've gotten her tickets twice to the Eagles Super Bowls, and they've won both of them. To your point, Joe, she did say, I said, well, how does this compare? She said, well, because the Patriots game was close and there was like angst, that one was better. But I think since our daughters were there, it was nice to not have that stress. It was nice for the second half to just be a party and not be worried about it. But for her, she went, I get tickets for her and my sister-in-law for the Minneapolis one. That was obviously very, very cool because you didn't know until the end.
Good stuff. Russ, I'm not thanking any of our guests this week for the season because I want to keep everyone at least through next week. So we'll talk next week, and we'll keep it going, man. This is a glorious time, and obviously a lot to get to for next season. And we'll start that process perhaps next week. Russ, thanks so much, man.
Oh, my gosh. You just made my day. I was upset that this is the last day. I love it.
I'm not done.
All right. I'll talk to everybody next week.
I'm talking to someone who talks to someone who talks to someone. Thank you, Russ.
I love it. See you guys.
You got it, buddy. Mike Quick shortly will join us. Let's get to Mike right now. Different Mike. Mike, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, buddy. How you feeling?
It's cloud nine, man. It's really an amazing feeling. And knowing we got an actual parade. Not like a, hey, I hope we have a parade someday. Remember that thing?
Oh, my God.
Like, we have a guarantee, like, unless a nuke ends us all in the next 48 hours.
All right.
Or an asteroid.
All right.
Other than a nuke or an asteroid, and Putin would be the nuke.
All right.
Have a frickin' parade in 2 days. Thank you very much.
Yes, we do. I got to tell you, Joe, you know what I love hearing today? I love hearing everybody trying to comprehend this new feeling that has now been thrust upon Philadelphia where, you know, again, 2017 was amazing. It was amazing in its own right. But also in a way, it was like we could all be like, we stuck it to everybody. Like, screw you. You know, we probably won one. This is different because now we have solidified ourselves as a class organization in the history of the sport. You know, when you win multiple and you're set up for potential success for a few more years to come, you are now in the conversation of the best of all time. Like, people.
Look, I think, Mike, here's the one thing I'll just say this. I'm going to jump in. Best of all time. Yeah. I mean, you can argue defense and all that and teams. But as far as organization, someone said it to us earlier this week. I thought it was an astute point. The Eagles finally became the gold standard.
Yeah.
And I mean that in a way different than 2017 for a number of reasons. Number one, it's hard to be the gold standard after one ring. I mean, you haven't established quite enough yet. I'm just going to say that. Number two, I would say that most, if not all, NFL people, forget us as fans, NFL people, would say the two best organizations are the Eagles and the Chiefs, in whatever order you want to put them, based on how they're run from ownership to GM to coach. Like, they are exceptional organizations. And then when you consider the Eagles under Lurie have been at it now for about 30 years,
mm-hmm.
I think it is the first time you can actually say the Eagles, I think, have truly become the gold standard. And that's something for us as fans to both appreciate but also cherish, because that is rare around here.
Joe, and listen, I know I've said it to you a couple times, and I knew you would get there. Remember when I had said I was comparing this to the Yankees, the Yankee way? It's the Eagle way. It's now the Eagle way. We have the top class organization that is just dead set on winning, dead set on bringing the best people from coaches, from the players, and they're not just the best players on the field. They're good people. They're people you want to root for. They're people that you're proud that your kids are going to wear their names on the back of them. And you know what? And now you're going to walk around with a little bit of a superiority. And it's not that, you know, it's not in an arrogant way. It's just you walk around, you will now see, you will look at anyone and everyone, whatever team they're wearing, knowing you're better. You know that they are not in your class. It's a different
The one thing, Mike, here's the one thing I'll say, and good call. Let's hope the Eagles can continue it. Because in 2017,
well, that's the big trick.
They did not in
they
2018.
They need to do a better job of accepting the congratulations and having a better plan to move forward productively.
We don't need the coach writing a book in the summer.
Human nature.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The all the claps on the back.
Yeah.
They made us a worse team the last time, and it took us a while to dig out of that.
Yeah, and Carson especially handled it bad because of, you know, we all know the deal. Let me play some audio. We're going to get to Mike Wick in one moment. I want to get to more from the Tonight Show last night. This was beyond adorable. Most people have probably heard this, but if not, Saquon's daughter with a voicemail to Saquon. The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon last night featured it. Saquon last night discussing his kids and specifically his daughter.
Saquon, not only was Sunday your first Super Bowl win, but it's also your birthday. Congratulations. Yeah. Happy birthday. Here you are with your kids after the win. What are they more excited about? Are they more excited about the Super Bowl win, or are they more excited about Dad's birthday?
I think it was a combination of both. Just, you know, being there, celebrating with my family. Before the game, you know, we had a daddy-daughter dance, me and my daughter. So it was able to get canceled and moved to March 14th. So I'm able to have that moment with her. And, you know, before the game, she told me, now that the game's canceled, she wants to win the Super Bowl a little bit more. So probably the Super Bowl win.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you brought a voicemail that your daughter left you before the Super Bowl. Let's take a listen to this.
Hi, Daddy. It's Jada. And this will test you for your big game. I'm really, really, really hope you win. And, Daddy, really, I'm really thankful that you've been caring for your whole family. And I know you're going to win. But if you don't, that is okay. I'll always, always love you.
Are you kidding me? That's the cutest message in the world. What a good kid.
How great is that? I mean, is that unbelievable? All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Mike Wick. He obviously had the honor, the privilege of being in the booth to announce for the second time in his career a Super Bowl champion. Mike, right now.
Mike Quick is sponsored by the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. New users get up to $1,000 in casino bonus back at betparks.com for the details. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Let's welcome one of the great Eagles players of all time, who I know still has a big old smile on his face. Mike, to you, to your beloved Eagles organization, which is also our beloved Eagles organization, but a little bit more yours than ours because you bled for them. Mike, congratulations to you, man.
Hey, man, congratulations to you and everyone, all of the fans of the Delaware Valley, and not just Delaware Valley. We got Eagles fans all over the world. So there's so many people that can enjoy what just happened. And I'm just happy for everybody because this is very special. And I never take situations like this lightly. And I'm so happy that we all get to celebrate this.
After Marion Campbell, how can you take it lightly, Mike? You know what I'm
saying?
Exactly. All right, Mike. So let's start at the end. We'll go through a ton, but let's start at the end. What were the final seconds like? We saw, you know, 7 years ago, it was a totally different end. You and Merrill and everyone in the booth, you know, hanging on that ball, hanging through the air. And what was the end? I thought Merrill had a great call. Not easy necessarily when it's a kneel down to crank it up. But take us inside that booth in the final 30 seconds and what happened in the next minute or two.
Yeah, I think when you got to that point in the game, it was just kind of trying to figure out, you know, how to close this thing out, because it wasn't like the previous Super Bowl win where, like, you're right, it came down to the last and you're kind of just hanging on for dear life and hoping that things go well. Well, we already knew that this thing was in the bag, so it was just a matter of trying to wrap it up the right way. But it was such a great game, and I kind of would like to see games that are more like nail-biting down to the end, but still, it was so much fun. It was so cool to see the dominance, particularly of the defense, dominating this team that everyone thought was just a juggernaut and could go on to win three in a row. Well, that was a lie.
You're not kidding.
It just doesn't happen like this very often, that these games are so one-sided, Mike. How were we able to make it so lopsided?
I, you know what? Quite honestly, I think Andy Reid, down deep, had to know that his offensive line was in trouble. They just could not block the Eagles' defensive front. And they're so, like, no one talks enough about, like, a Jalix Hunt. And the game that Jalix Hunt had, Nolan Smith, these guys that they're not like the top guys that you think about. You might think about a Carter or Milton Williams, and they both played great. But the way Sweat played and Hunt, these guys that just kind of rotated in, it was unbelievable because they couldn't be blocked. That's how dominant they were. They never had to, Vic Fangio never had to send extra people. John, even early in the game, I remember watching them go max protection. They only sent two guys out in the route for Patrick Mahomes. Everyone else stayed in and blocked. They still could not stop the four-man rush.
That's incredible.
That's how dominant this thing was.
That really is incredible. And how much, well, now that we know that the offense, it felt like both sides of the ball working at such a high level of execution, now we're moving forward with looking for a new offensive coordinator. But how did Kellen Moore, how did he do in the Super Bowl? How good a game was it, the one that he called?
Oh, he was fantastic. He understood that, okay, you're going to load up the box, you're going to take away Saquon, or you're going to try to take away Saquon, and you have to give the Chiefs credit. They were really good in that aspect of the game.
Yeah.
And they are probably, other than the Eagles, the best tackling team I've seen all year. They are excellent at getting runners on the ground. They were really good at that. But, okay, if you're going to do that, what are you going to do with AJ? What are you going to do with John Dotson and Skinny Batman? You don't have enough people to do everything that you need to do to stop this offense.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the quarterback was spectacular.
Why does it seem like he plays his best football when the games matter the most?
Oh, that's important.
That's a good thing.
I think that's a big thing that you that in the big games, it's when you show up and you show out the best. And I like the little comment that he made, because he's a calculated thinking guy. Mm-hmm. The little comment that he made after the championship game, that they took the straitjacket off, however he said it. It's just that the offense allowed him to play and to throw the ball and to do the things that he knows that he can do in the offense.
Yeah.
And, of course, in the Super Bowl, it was the same.
How special is that? Just thinking about specific plays, you know, AJ's touchdown. How in the world do you scheme it so that you got AJ Brown running a drive route against a linebacker? You got man coverage from Bolton, the inside off-ball linebacker trying to cover AJ Brown. How in the world do you scheme that well?
Really, really smart scheming. When AJ is that snug receiver tight to the formation and the inside guy in that blunt set, it's just so hard to get a defensive back to carry him through all of that traffic all the way to the other side of the field.
Yeah.
And they knew that. They designed it. They schemed it up that way, that if we don't get AJ, we know that we're going to get in the back of the end zone a guy open. And it just happened to be the easiest throw to AJ because the guy trying to defend him had to sift through so much traffic.
Mike, let's talk about that moment, or perhaps moments thereafter or earlier, When did you know, barring an outrageous miracle for the Chiefs, that the game was over?
So I felt like the game was over after Devontae Blaze. So you have this sudden change where the Eagles took the ball back, and they're on somewhere near the 50-yard line, and they dial up the deep ball to Devontae, one-on-one on the outside. He just blazed by, and Jalen hit him perfectly at just as he entered the end zone. When he scored that touchdown, I was pretty comfortable at that point. That
for sure then. Earlier, Mike.
It was
34
nothing.
Yeah, I remember thinking after that, wow, I thought the game was already over. Now it's over. I was earlier, Mike. I mean, for me, I'll tell you, I think it was, look, I can't say exactly, but I'll just say either halftime 24-0 after AJ's TD or after the Chiefs didn't go anywhere with the first possession of the third quarter. Because, you know, John, you kind of think, well, they could do something out of half. Well, they didn't go anywhere
that
after halftime.
That was their MO to score at the end of the first half and then come right back out, turn it around, score at the beginning of the second half, that 14-point swing.
Totally.
They couldn't come close to doing
that. Yeah, I mean, Mike, when they didn't do that, and by the way, I want to play some audio because this is really good. So Mike had just referenced a Devontae TD. Let's listen to, we have the audio of Devontae and Jalen on the sideline after that TD. Devontae's a little bit emotional.
Amazing.
This is
amazing.
This is special. Listen to Jalen and Devontae.
Yeah. I love you, boy.
Love you too, dog.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you too, man.
Way to keep this going, man.
I got you, dog.
Hey, man, this ain't our last time at this, man.
You got some catching up to do, dog.
For sure.
Hey, it's been a ride, huh?
For sure, man.
It's been a ride. It's been a ride, dog. It's been a ride, man. You deserve it, bro. You deserve that. You deserve that. Embrace this, man, in your hometown. In your hometown.
You know, what the audio doesn't show, obviously,
come
is
on, man.
Devontae
might,
emotional, you know?
You might make me cry with that. Yo, that to me was one of the coolest moments in the entire game.
No doubt.
And with Devontae saying, hey, man, way to keep this bleep going. Because he knows that there have been some rocky spots along the way. But when you look at Jalen Hurts, the guy just never flinched. And the guy just stayed the course. And he tried to keep everybody else on course. And that's just the way that he is. That is such a cool moment, and I'm so glad you played that because that was one of the cooler moments of the entire night.
Yeah, it really was. Mike, let's talk about, because there's so much special stuff here. You know, your buddy, our friend, and we all love him, Merrill Reese. So, can you put into words your thoughts on Merrill? You know, like he was an Eagles announcer prior to you even being an Eagles player.
Correct.
Can you put into words how happy you are for the man that always sits right next to you or stands next to you every game?
Oh, man, it's he's just a very special person to me. On a personal note, he's just a very special person. But I just look at his body of work, and I don't think anyone has ever done it better. And for the longevity, the over the time, you mentioned before I even became an Eagle. Well, heck, I've been around this organization 40-some years, and he was there long before I got started.
Man,
that's right.
And he's still just iconic in everything that he does. He's a true treasure, and I just feel so fortunate that I get to hang out with that dude and do what I do. I'm in a very special place.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm very blessed to be where I am, for sure.
Mike, I am expecting a wild performance from you at the parade on Friday. Rip the shirt off, flex.
Shotgun and beers.
I'm expecting something from Quick.
Yeah, the Jason Kelce speech, we want it to be Mike Quick.
All of that. Just mark it down.
Hey, Mike, congrats on a great season, obviously, on the call. I mean, obviously, we were so happy when, you know, Devin joined the team with you guys, and it's very special. I really mean it. You know I mean it. I mean, Merrill and
Thank
Mike
you.
And Devin, you guys do a wonderful job, and we look forward to next year. Look, I'm not wrapping up the season with you yet. I want to get everyone on the show next week. We'll figure it all out, but just know, man, we really appreciate you big time, and we're happy for you because you have been an Eagle a long time, and obviously it took a long time for the first one. And now the second one, it's very, very special, Mike, and we're all very happy for you.
Well, you know Devin's undefeated, right?
Yes, she is.
I'm well aware.
Yep.
Yeah.
All me. All me.
She's asking for.
Players did nothing. It was all me.
She's asking for a contract restructuring. She says, if I go undefeated, what the hell?
I need that Nick Sirianni money.
That's right.
I think she needs to renegotiate her contract, whatever that is. I don't know what that is.
Hey, Mike, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you really soon. Mike.
Listen, I really have enjoyed coming on with you guys all season long. And I, as I told you weeks ago, Joe, you got to enjoy this, man.
Yeah.
You got to, this is a special thing, and we don't know if and when we'll get back to this. So, like I said, I'm happy for everybody. Let's just enjoy this. And just like the last parade, there was so much love.
Yeah.
And all of these millions of people, if it was 2 million, whatever the number was, it's crazy how much appreciation and love was shown that day. So I'm hoping that everyone comes out and we have the same thing on Friday because, yeah, we deserve to have this moment and to really appreciate what's taking place here in Philadelphia.
Totally agree. And, Mike, I appreciate that message you gave me a couple of weeks ago. I really do. And, look, man, we'll talk very soon, and I'll probably see you somewhere on Friday amongst the 2 million others that will be out there. Thank you so much, Mike.
Sounds great.
Take care.
Thank you, Mike.
There he is, the great Mike Quick.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.